The first had been the worst of the leaders. The second one had been the best. Now it was his turn. Now it was up to him to take the role of king over his people. And as he assumed that role, he had no doubt there were many who expected him to fail. People who thought he was too young, too inexperienced, underqualified. More than a few people were actively committed to helping him fail. Have you ever found yourself in that kind of position? You have if you've ever been promoted at work, if you've ever been given special responsibility, if you've ever earned a starting position on a team, if you've ever done anything where you were called to do something exceptionally well. You found yourself in that place where some people wanted you to do well, but other people wanted to see you fall on your face in failure. If you've ever attempted something in which you could either wildly succeed or miserably fall apart, then you understand a lot about how this man was feeling on that night when he turned to God. His name was Solomon. He knew beyond the shadow of a doubt he needed help. Everything had happened so quickly. His father David had named him as his successor over his older brother, which nobody had expected. David had already had him anointed as the new king, and then before Solomon had time to be trained and prepared for the role, David had died. And suddenly the kingdom fell into Solomon's hands. He knew he had to make some hard decisions, and nobody else could make them for him. Is it any wonder that Solomon traveled from Jerusalem to Gibeon? Because that was the place where people went to seek the Lord in those days. When you had real problems, you went to Gibeon. When you had desperate needs, you went to Gibeon. When you needed something that only God could provide, you went to Gibeon. And for Solomon, when he was anointed king, it became the first place on his mind. I need to go to that place where I can get close to the Lord. When he arrived, he offered the Lord a great sacrifice. The Bible says 1,000 burnt offerings. Tells you something about how serious Solomon was. This was not a ceremonial thing he was doing. He was not casually seeking God's will. He was desperate for God to do something in the middle of his life. The Bible says the Lord came to meet Solomon at his greatest point of need, just as he does for you, just as he does for me. When we need him the most, he is faithful. And sooner or later, it will happen to us all. We will desperately need the Lord. If not now, soon. Something's going to happen that's bigger than you are. And God has a lot to teach us about how to live in an unashamed dependence upon Him. And you find it in the prayer that Solomon prayed at Gibeon. So let's turn to God's Word together and let's discover what the Lord wants us to know about what it means to turn to God when you need Him. When problems have arisen, when opportunities are right before you, when you know that the challenge is bigger than you, this is what you do. This is where you turn. The Bible says the Lord revealed himself as soon as Solomon was ready to confess his need. The Bible says God came to Solomon in a dream by night. Now, Solomon was at Gibeon because he was at a point of desperation. He was almost overwhelmed by what he was facing. If Solomon was anything like me, he had gone to bed that night tossing and turning, doing his very best to figure out, what do I do? Where do I go? How am I going to lead these people? How am I going to provide the guidance that they need? How am I going to find the wisdom and the leadership to be able to do the things that God has given me the privilege of doing? And if he was anything like me, the more he struggled, the bigger his problems became. It is amazing to me sometimes, lying on my bed at night, how a problem that was this big suddenly becomes this big as I think about it in the middle of the night. And as I wonder, where am I going to turn? What am I going to do? How am I going to help? What am I going to do? I don't want to mess up. Lord, you got to help me in the midst of this. And I think that probably is the prayer that the Bible doesn't record. That Solomon, lying there in his bed, was saying, Lord, you've got to help me. Lord, I'm in over my head. I don't even know where to turn. Tell me what to do. It was almost as though Solomon was overwhelmed to the point of surrender when he finally drifted off into a troubled sleep. Why did the Lord wait so long? Why didn't he reveal himself as soon as Solomon began to seek him? After all, shouldn't God have done something spectacular in the midst of all of those burnt offerings? Shouldn't God have revealed himself so that all of the people could see his hand of blessing on Solomon? Solomon waited to hear from the Lord. I believe God waited to reveal himself until Solomon had run out of his own ideas and his own answers. I think the Lord let Solomon struggle for a while, struggle with his own solutions, to strive under his own strength. Solomon needed to reach a point of heart deep realization. Without the Lord, I am helpless. Because sometimes that's exactly what the Lord does in your life, and it's what he does in my life. He lets us reach that point of absolute desperation. He lets us reach that point where we've tried everything we know how to try, and we've done everything we know how to do, and still it's not enough. And we find ourselves saying, Lord, what am I going to do? How are you going to help me? And that's usually how the Lord works. He steps in to help you when you become unashamed to confess how much you need him. He waits till you reach that point of desperation. And then he reveals himself. As long as you believe I can do this without him, or that all you need is a casual relationship with Christ, he will step back and let you try. As long as you are pretty sure that the Lord is just the cherry on top, but you're the sundae itself, he'll let you do everything you know how to do. He will let you try as hard as you want to try. And while you are striving, you know what I believe the Lord is often doing in your life and in mine? I think the Lord is doing exactly this. You're not listening, so I'm not talking. You're not desperate, so there's no need for me to act. The truth is, you wouldn't hear me if I spoke, because you're so busy rehearsing your own answers. And the Lord will wait until we become desperate, until we are unashamed to admit, Lord, I'm trying to do what only you can do. I need your help. And then he steps in and he begins to act. You have to get to that point of desperation before you discover that real working faith, because when you're at a loss to know what to do, it can become easy to be reluctant to admit you need the Lord. When you're running out of answers, it becomes harder and harder to say, Lord, I need you. We keep striving a little harder. If I just think a little harder, if I just try a little more, if I just do more than I've done so far. That's why there's so many stunted believers in the world. Because we've made the decision somewhere along the way, I want the Lord in my life. I just don't want him to get in my way. I want to trust him, but not to the point that anything really has to change. The truth is, a lot of us would love to trust the Lord for heaven, but not for the things that are right in front of our noses. And we have to reach that point of recognizing, I need to hear from God. And then he will speak. The Lord confronted Solomon with an inescapable question. He said, ask, what shall I give you? There was no room for vague responses. This was not a time when Solomon should say something like this, Lord, I just want your will to be done. I just want things to happen according to your plan. God's asked you a very specific question, and it requires a very specific answer. What shall I give you? Solomon was being challenged to reveal his greatest need. I wonder, how would you answer this morning if the Lord confronted you with that question? What if the Lord appeared to you? Maybe not in a dream, but maybe he spoke to you in such a way that you knew it was him. And he said this, ask, what shall I give you? How would you respond? Would you ask for something superficial? Or would you ask the Lord to change your life? Do something in me that only you can do. Would you seek big changes, or would you look for little answers? How would you respond if you were Solomon? The Lord was doing more than ask a question. He was testing Solomon's character. Ask, what shall I give you? How are you going to answer, Solomon? Would his response be a selfish one? Give me what I want, take care of me and mine, and as long as everything's going okay in my world, I'm going to be okay? Or would he reveal the heart of a leader? Would he show himself ready to step into that role of leading his people? Sooner or later, all of us reach that point. The Lord will bring you to a point of crisis, and how you respond to him makes all the difference. Sooner or later, the Lord comes to you in the midst of your life, and he says, through circumstances or situations or opportunities or obstacles, what do you want? How can I touch your life? How can I make you a different person? How can I change your situation? What do you want from me? He'll force you to make a critical choice about the depth of your dependence on him. What do you want me to do? Will you be self-centered, or will you be God-centered? Are you going to say to God, this is what you can do for me? Or is this one of those places where you say, God, step into my life and show me what I can do through you? The Bible tells us that Solomon passed the test. Most people believe that Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom, but his request was not that simple. Instead, he prayed a prayer that proved he was not ashamed to ask the Lord to do what only the Lord could do. This is how he prayed. He said, Lord, I know what you did for my father. He knew how the Lord had stepped in and taken David, a simple shepherd boy. So simple that when Samuel was anointing a new king, he was the forgotten son, the one that nobody really thought about until Samuel asked to meet him. And the Lord had taken this simple shepherd boy and he had made him a king and a warrior. a leader who walked with God, and someone who created a kingdom. Lord, I know what you did for my father. You took my father from very little and you made him much. Not only that, Lord, I know what you've done for me. Solomon did not become king by right of succession. Normally, the new king would be the oldest son of the old king. But that was not God's plan. The Lord had anointed Solomon as the new chosen ruler. So Solomon said to the Lord, I know what you've done for me. I know that I owe everything to you. And then he said something amazing. In this prayer, he said, I know who I really am. Solomon had no illusions about his capability to lead. He knew who the man underneath the robe and the crown was. He recognized how much he needed help. So this is what he said to the Lord. He said, I'm a little child. He confessed, I don't even know how to go out and come in. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know how to lead. His prayer reminds us that the strongest people you know are not the ones who believe they can make it by themselves. The strongest people are the ones who know how desperately they need to depend upon the Lord, who find themselves exactly where Solomon was. Lord, if you don't help me, I'm lost. If you don't come through, I'm going to fail. Lord, I don't have any illusion that I have it in me to be a great leader for these people. I'm just a little child. And out of that spirit, Solomon made his request. Give me an understanding heart so that I can lead your people. Don't give it to me for my own sake. Give it to me because your people need a leader. Give it to me because you have called me to represent you in front of all of these people. Give me an understanding heart because, Lord, I want to be the leader that you've called me to be. And I can't do it without you. He didn't seek knowledge for knowledge's sake. He didn't ask to be wise so he could have a reputation for wisdom. He wanted to lead the way people needed to be led. He wanted to help them fulfill God's great plan for their lives. Solomon was praying for God to use him to make a real difference with his life. Lord, you've brought me here. You've put me in this position. These people are depending on me. Let me make a difference. And that's the prayer God wants you to pray. Lord, right where I am, at this stage in my life, with these things that are happening, with opportunities and challenges in front of me, I want to make a difference for you. I want my life to count for your kingdom, not for myself. And so we pray that kind of prayer as we lead our families and do our work, as we show Jesus in our own lives, and lead out in his name. Lord, I just want to make a difference for you. And that's the prayer I want all of us to pray. This is the prayer I want us to pray. Lord, I know I'm not everything that I wish I was. I'm not as smart as I want to be. I'm not as capable as I pretend to be. Or I'm not as strong as I need to be. I'm not ashamed to admit that without you, I know I'm going to fall. Father, I want my life to make a difference. I don't want to look back someday and see how I messed up the things that mattered the most. I need help to choose the most important things, to put aside the things that only seem important for a moment. Lord Jesus, I'm tired of pretending that I can do it alone. Please give me your strength and your wisdom that I can live my life in a way that matters. Most of all, Lord, I need you. From now on, you are in control. And that's the prayer that I wrote as I sat on my back porch last week, thinking about what happened in Solomon's life. But I think it's the prayer that God calls us all to pray. Now, I'm not telling you, you know, the most important thing you can do after this morning's worship service is take that prayer that Jim Cooley wrote and go home with it and memorize it, because it will change your life if you pray his memorized prayer. But I am saying this, you might need to write your own. You might need to sit down and say, you know what, if God came to me and said, ask what I can do for you. Ask what I can give you. This is what I would pray in my life, in my heart of hearts. This is what I would ask the Lord to give me. Why don't you do that? Go home and find that quiet place and write that prayer and put it aside where you'll be able to find it again, and you will see the faithfulness of God. I know that's true because the Lord answered Solomon's prayer and gave him so much more. The Lord said, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor riches for yourself, nor the life of your enemies, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any arise like you arise after you. And then the Lord laid a strong challenge in front of him. He said, if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. In other words, the Lord was saying, stay close to me, listen to what I tell you, and I will do more with you than you can imagine. God's ready to make that promise in your life. The Lord is ready to do amazing things in the lives of people who are desperate to trust him with everything and are willing to live in active dependence upon him. That's exactly what Solomon did, but it's really not about the story of a king who lived long ago and wanted to lead his people wisely. It's really the story about your heart and your life. The Lord is ready to show himself active on your behalf if you just trust him and depend upon him. Well, what does that mean in my life? What does it mean if I'm going to live a life of active dependence? You know what? I don't know. I don't know what that would mean in your life if you made that decision. You know what, Lord? I want you to put me out in a place where I got to depend on you. And if you don't come through, I'm in real trouble, because I want to see your faithfulness in a powerful way. I don't know what that might mean for you. But I do know this, if you ask him, he'll tell you. And when he tells you, then you have to trust him. And maybe it begins with simple faith, a simple faith that says to Jesus Christ, Lord, I have tried to do it by myself for as long as I can remember, and I need a Savior more than I need anything. And today, I invite Christ into my life to be my Savior and my Lord. And I will trust him and I will follow him. If you're not a believer, in just a moment when we stand and sing our invitation hymn, this will be your opportunity. You can come down here. I'll be here to meet you. I'd love to introduce you to Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing part of what God wants me to do is to be part of what He's doing at First Baptist Church in Birmingham. He is calling me to be a member of this church. And today I come in obedience to His call. Or maybe God is dealing with you in some very specific ways in your own life. It may be a challenge, it may be a call, it may be a conviction, but you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is where He is talking to me. And you just need to come up and say, "Will you pray with me as I seek God's will and I want to be obedient to Him?" Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand, we're going to sing. As His Holy Spirit deals with you, you come. Let's stand together. In God's house. I'm glad we got to share this time worshiping together. Let me remind you again about this evening. Now, 5 o'clock evening worship. We're going to study Romans together. We'll have a great time. And then after the service is done at 6:30, we'll be gathering at Vestavia Bowl, and we've got a couple of hours. We've got lanes reserved. This is for all ages. I want you to know over the years, I have bowled with a 90-year-old and I have bowled with a 4-year-old. And they both beat me. So you don't have to worry about how good you're going to be. You just have to show up. And we're looking forward. It's always been a great time for us as a church family. I encourage you to come and be part of our church-wide bowling experience. Been good to be in God's house today. Let's bow together for our closing prayer and then one final song. And Father, we do pray that just like Solomon, we'll recognize our own limitations. But Father, that our limitations won't lead us to be discouraged, but challenged. Not just challenged, but challenged to depend upon You in every situation and whatever comes our way. Lord, we thank You that You are there to change our lives and to make us new. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.